Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, welcome to the Nick Oliveri Show. I'm your host, Nick Oliveri, best-selling novelist, Ukrainian-born artiste. And on the Nick Oliveri Show, we discuss great art, great people, and the many things in between. I'm just going to get right into it. Don't think it'll be a super long episode, but let's do it. I tried to make this a data-driven episode. I really did. You're going to look at the title, and it's going to have something to do with, you know, walking to the bookstore and, you know, young males being left behind in literature. That is only part of the truth, okay? I'm a 25-year-old male, right? I'm a 25-year-old male. So I know my demographic because I am my demographic. If you are not a 25-year-old male, maybe you are a 45-year-old self-identifying, quotes, woman. Or maybe you are, say, a 17-year-old male or a 65-year-old male. Like, you get it. You get what I'm saying. Generational gaps, where you're from, where you're raised, where you're born, and how you're raised too. These all affect things. So this episode is about, I do believe, with the caveat of I tried to make this data driven, and the data overall was not aligning with what I've seen, which actually makes this a little bit more interesting to me. I did, you know, your normie Google searches, and then I actually went on a different browser. Then I searched on Firefox, and I just tried to find, like, studies. I tried to find, you know, New York Times bestsellers, because you could be a best-selling novelist, you can be an international bestseller, a national bestseller, but New York Times is one of the more concrete ways to measure this. And even then, even getting New York Times best-selling data is tough. So then I was like, oh, and I've tried to do this over time to say and kind of show there's a trend here where males are picking up less books. Well, that is veritable. Males read less fiction than women. Younger males read less fiction than younger women. Of the same age, it's a fact. Or at least, it, as long as I'm saying it's self-reported, that is a piece, or those are data that are true, I should say. Men of the same age read less fiction than women of the same age. In the United States, at the very least. But I cannot imagine that's not a trending trend. That's what we call alliteration. I can't imagine that that is not a trend in most other nations, developed or otherwise, throughout the entire globe. We always say, you know, males tend to be more visual. It's not a secret, and I don't need to find any data. And here's what this episode is predicated upon. I don't need to find any data to show me that men play more video games than women. You don't have to show me data to say more men, or rather I should say the fan base of Star Wars, people who enjoy Star Wars, give money to Star Wars and the IP over time, and even now, are more male than female. I don't need to find data for that. That's something that you know. However, those that enjoy science fiction are going to be predominantly male, or at least more dominated by male than female. Those that enjoy rom-com, female over male. Girls, and it's more feminine to enjoy romance in novels, in literature, but also in movies. I guarantee you this. I'm not saying that that sci-fi is 100% dominated in movies and literature by men, and romance is dominated 100% by women and 0% males. And that's absolutely not what I'm saying here. What I am saying is I toured the nation of the United States in 2024, when I was 23, and then I turned 24 in May, and I continued to tour throughout that year into 2025 this year, as I record this in December of 2025. I toured the entire nation. Okay, not entire. I toured most major cities in the United States and did over 50 signings, mostly at Barnes & Nobles and some at independent bookstores, signed thousands of copies of my books. I want to repeat, I signed thousands of copies at my books. So I have a set of data. It just happens to be in my mind and it's not all documented. I don't have it in like one clean spreadsheet for you to go and try to verify. And yeah. So yeah, I then went after my searches on normie browsers, Google and Firefox, I went and I queried ChatGPT. I said, you know, give me these things. I just want the data. And the data are unclear. The data are unclear. It's unclear. It's all unclear. And if it is clear, something is being obscured, because there is a fact that I know, and it is men read less fiction than woman. Now, for just talking nonfiction, that's actually dominated by male readers by and large. But even now, in the last 10, 20 years, women have been getting more and more and more into self-help, digging, you know, Mel Robbins. That's a name that I'd mentioned. That's probably one of the, I think she might be the best-selling self-help writer or author, whatever, out there. And it might not even be close. That is a female, and I am positive that her audience is... I don't need to see a spreadsheet. Here's the thing, guys. I don't need to see a spreadsheet to know that Mel Robbins' audience is dominated by females. I don't need a spreadsheet to tell you, and for you to... you can't... you can't go ahead and debunk me that, for example, the audience for Star Wars... Or say a Star Wars video game or the new Call of Duty Black Ops 7 that came out like this year is going to be dominated by males. Just like Mel Robbins, mostly read and listened to by women. But I went on tour. Back to the point, Nick. I went on tour, okay? And so all this data aside that's external, I have a lot of data that are stored in my head. Yes, it's anecdotal. But I actually have a very large sample size is what I'm trying to get across. I signed books across maybe 13 to 15 states, essentially so many U.S. states it was difficult to count. It may very well be 15. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over that. In most major U.S. cities and urban areas, both coasts and in between. So I'm letting you know that I got to interact with hundreds to thousands of readers who bought my books. What does this mean? I met them. What does that mean? Because I have eyes that work, and thank God I do. I'm not saying this in vain. I love being able to see and hear and smell. When I was there using my senses, I saw the people who would go up to me and be most curious. I even saw the people who were at the bookstore for other reasons and that were not me, that were just walking around and looking. I got to see it all. I got to see, if we're just talking about people I saw at Barnes & Noble, tens of thousands within the span of 12, 13 months. And here is the point. Here is the point. Because I tried to give you a data-driven episode, but this is not, but this is not just sentiment, is what I'm telling you. But I can't point to reports or academic studies or such a clear linear trend that's on like Statista or the New York Times bestseller list over time or some nerd at MIT or Harvard. I can't point to something like that besides my own data. And I tell you this verily, verily, verily so. My conclusion, anecdotal, however it may be, is that young men read less and young men are less interested in books. Whose fault is this? Well, I would say, not everyone's going to read. Not everyone's going to read paperbacks. Not everyone's going to read in general. We're likely becoming a less literate population, which is incredibly scary to me. I actually think that's abhorrent. I think that's ridiculous in its definitive sense, as in worthy of ridicule. I think it's awful, terrible. Insert a synonym there. It's really bad. But overall, and the denouement of my insight, if I'm just talking about like, oh, what demographics mainly bought your books, Nick? No. It's even bigger than that. It's who was willing to go up and talk to me when they didn't know I was there. It's who was, if they didn't know I was going to be there. It's who, who bought my books most of the time, who was most interested in what, and also when people were not in line for my novels or to get a signature from me, to get an autographed copy from me, who was just in the stores milling about looking for books, and so many things in between. I will tell you, out of those thousands of people that I signed copies for across the United States, this is the United States, name a state that has a population of higher than, say, 7 million people, I was likely there. In fact, I think I hit every state that had a population of above 7 million. I want to say less than 12 or 13%. Certainly less than 15% of people who would have otherwise, or say, we'll say who were around my age, looked like me, would have sounded a little bit like me, would have most resembled me in my demographic. Because we have a word for that. So why am I trying to get around it poetically? Poorly, might I add. It was less than 15% of people in my demographic, young males. I'm not even going to slice up the demographic by going into ethnicity. I don't even need to do that. It's just the variety in which I sold my novels was... It was immense. It was profound. It was a great leap from demographic to demographic, without a doubt. But so not only less than 15% of the people who I signed copies for were young males, and I'll define this roughly. I'll tell you between, say, the ages of 15 and 35. Because there were middle school boys that were very into the concepts and the things and some of the fantasy elements. And the parents were cool with it because the Conjurer series is definitely, at least subject matter-wise and language-wise, totally accessible and friendly for a middle grade reader. It's fine. But 15 to 35-year-old men were not just the least that I signed and sold to, who, by the way, look and sound and think most similar to me, by and large. I'm generalizing, but this episode is to generalize. I'm trying to paint a picture of something I saw that was very real. I was in a Barnes & Noble or an independent bookstore every single weekend across the United States for over a year. Sometimes 2 to 3 times in one weekend. And not only those who I sold to, I know definitely less than 15% of the people there at the Barnes & Noble at large that I saw walk in and out and in and out and in and out every day I was signing, less than 15% were males between the age of 15 and 35. I'm trying to extend a branch here. I'm trying to really, you know, 20 years is a large span. Think about how a 15-year-old in the year of our Lord 2025, at the end of this year, of 2025, thinks, what they do, what their habits are, versus a modern 35-year-old. What they think, how they feel, their disposition on the world, what they do for fun, what they do for work, if they work, how they... it's a very wide, pseudo-demographic I'm giving you. 15 to 35-year-old self-identifying males. And less than 15% were there. And I'm going to get to the bigger point here, because there's a bigger point here. And I think this episode's going to be a little shorter than most of mine, which is fine. And if it isn't, then also fine, because that's it. Here's the larger point here. Here's the reason why I'm saying this. Someone might be hearing this and say, well, Nick, I mean, maybe you're just bitter that you're a younger male and younger males aren't like flocking toward your work. Actually, what's so odd about that is that's not the case. That's actually not the case. Because my numbers for the podcast and my numbers on YouTube, and based on what I say and in the themes of largely what I talk about, with the blend of, you know, philosophy and pop culture, my hip-hop videos, things like that, I can see my audiences in general demographics. It's actually, it's slanted towards males. Like, and so no, I'm not actually trying to comment on who's buying my books. I know I'm going to be fine regardless. And by the way, I don't specifically cater to any demographic. That's the thing about me. So I cater to the human. So this is like far from bitterness. In fact, it's just trying to provide some insight, really. Because I know I'm fine. I know I'm doing well. I'm selling. And it's great. And I'm always happy to be independent. I'm going to stay that way. So here's the big thing, though. Is because it's and you may say, no, Nick, you're coping. That's cope. Because you wanted like more of people in your demographic to connect with what you're saying. No, because I don't write to a demographic. Not at all. But it was puzzling, and it was so broad and so sweeping and so ubiquitous or near ubiquitous that it was noticeable, a very noticeable trend. And so from anecdotal evidence to a swath of data, I'll repeat that. I had pictures and memories and experiences from anecdotal evidence over the course of, say, a year, 13 months maybe, of now a whole data set in my head. And the data says that young males don't even frequent bookstores. And when I say this, I say younger males, because there'd be a lot of middle schoolers, younger girls and boys, accompanied by their parents. And a lot of them would come up to me. And there would be a lot of people outside the range of 35 and up, male and female. But when I was signing, notably too, for people my age, more of them were female rather than male. That's just how it went. That's just what it was. That's just what it is. I have less demographic data for like Amazon sales, for example, or when someone buys, say, a copy of The Conjurer off Target.com. Like I have less demographic data for that. But I'm telling you, this data set. So Why are... So I've established this. Males around ages 15 to 35. Not middle schoolers and not folks that are, you know, Gen X in their 40s. But this 20-year span, age range, I should say, of guys. Boys and younger men. With ethnicity completely taken out. Why is this? Because I've established it, and it's going to be very difficult to change my mind. If you come in with a stat, if you comment with a stat, if you send a stat to me, to my email, whatever, on my Goodreads, I don't know. I would probably rebuke it, unless it was just irrefutable. But my mind has been made up as of now, and I'm a very open-minded person. So now, since I've arrived at this conclusion, and I have all this data, and I've just conceded it to you, pervaded in the best way possible, why is this? Well, let's get into the third act here. Let's wrap it up here. Why is this? I think that's the big question. I have two anecdotes now. It's a small sample size, but I mean, when you think of popular authors out today, you think of, okay, I mean, Stephen King is still kicking, James Patterson still kicking, Dean Koontz still kicking, but that's the old guard, guys. Who's really, really big today? Sarah J. Maas, Colleen Hoover. Now, Brandon Sanderson, yeah, he's big. But even high fantasy, especially if it's salacious, I don't even know if Brandon Sanderson writes a lot of salacious stuff. I think he does, but there's a whole genre now that is much more bent and much more consumed by females, which is romanticy. Why are men reading increasingly less within this certain age range than any other demographic? Because, by the way, I wanna say one more time, there were younger males, like boys accompanied by their parents, that were like really interested in my stuff. Or I literally had teachers come up to me that were middle school teachers and be like, oh, my kids love this. And I was like, oh, you have a family, how old are your kids? And she goes, no, I'm a middle school teacher. Or I had some like middle school librarians. They're like, yeah, no, my kids love the Conjurer series. I recognize this. But those are not 15-year-olds. Those are middle schoolers. It's different. Their minds are shaped differently. They're raised differently than even kids 4 or 5 years older that get into like 15, 16 once they enter high school. I know I read a lot less in high school. I was a bookworm until about the age of 16. So I get it. And no one in... Here's the thing. There are two sides to this sword as we wrap up, and I'm bringing you into Act 3 here. There are two sides of this. If I am predicating this episode and even most of my thought on the idea that reading makes you more powerful, reading makes you better, not just at writing, but in thinking. If you read... And Stephen King, for example, recommends this to writers. He said, read everything that you get your hands on. Read as much as you can, even if it's slop, he said. Even if it's slop, just read it. Read good stuff, read great stuff, read bad stuff. It's kind of his sentiment. And a lot of other eminent authors say this. So, I don't think anyone in the world is out there physically forcing, say, you know, a 27-year-old guy to put down his copy of, you know, The Conjurer or Verity by Colleen Hoover or whatever the frick, like, I don't know. Their latest copy of, I don't know, it named something. Any book, a novel, no one in the world is forcing a 27-year-old guy on his couch who's about to read The Conjurer by Nick Oliveri, or Monsters in My Mind by Nick Oliveri, and forcing that novel out of their hands and putting an Xbox controller in their hands and saying, nope, you're playing Battlefield now. You are not reading that novel. No one is physically doing that. So in large part, this is still a business, this is still an industry, and this is still a market. But here's the other side of the market, is who are you marketing to? Who are you catering toward? Sometimes it's natural. Now, in big publishing, I have a very big problem with big publishers. Big problem with big publishers. Problematic publishers. Penguin Random House, Simon & Schuster. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you guys out. So here's the thing. They know, because they have way more statistics than I do, and they have a lot of insider statistics, and they're private companies, so they don't have to disclose their statistics and their numbers. They know what I'm saying to be true. So what do? As a business who wants to stay in business, and not only that, but grow and continue to make money, they want to cater toward what works. In essence, this is actually a fine marketing strategy, and this is why it's not all sour grapes. If men around my age give or take 10 years, up to 35, down to about 15, if they just read less naturally when given the choice, then of course publishing companies are then going to select the authors who are catering most toward that audience and then putting money and resources behind those authors and those novelists who cater towards the people who are already consuming the content and or the product of the novel, right? The product as the novel. The novel as a product. Doesn't matter. So there's that. So in one part, I can't really blame the publishing industry. In another part, though, I think there is a stigma around books because, you know, adolescent to young adult men can choose to read a book when they want. They can. And no one really had, like, but if knowledge is power and reading is a source of power and a source of clearer thought, which is a profound cornerstone for a sound mind and a sound body, there are missteps being taken by the publishing industry, without a doubt, in my opinion. To posit contrived narratives into the novels that are being pushed. What do I mean by novels being pushed? I mean, when you produce a product, a novel becomes a product, by the way. Once a novel is, quote, published, quote, unquote, published, it's a product. You sell it. Because guess what? It costs money to make a novel. It even costs money if you're only going to sell it digitally to have a cover for it and all this stuff. It's a marketable product. The novels they choose to market are just going to be favored more by women by and large. Just like a video game. My first girlfriend ever, my first serious girlfriend, she was super into video games, all right? But she was more of the aberration. She would even talk about like how rare it would be to have like another female on the chat, whatever, right? Rare. I think that big publishers, though, are doing a massive disservice if reading is a high advantage to men, to younger men, who may not have the attention span all the way to, you know, it's being dilapidated by social media and, you know, increasing cost of living and all this stuff that's, you know, maybe to other people worthy of despairing over, but not to me. And so I understand it's tough for anyone to read nowadays, but you should. It's good. And males are not. And the big publishing industry is getting in the way of this. Now I am suggesting a more dubious approach, a more dubious action here. Okay, so let me be very clear. Big publishers are doing males a giant disservice by pushing out Colleen Hoover and Sarah J. Maas, putting the money toward them, which is what I mean by push. I have to push my novels. I'm independent. I have a larger apparatus around me now. I have more help, but I'm still independent. I own everything that I do. A lot of authors who are pushed out there and who are very commercially successful have giant teams, and they give those giant teams giant cuts of their work, or they might not even, most don't even own their work at all. They sell it, and then the companies turn it into just a product instead of a literary experience, a piece of art. It's just commercial. Commercial fiction. What genre? Not everything has to be broken down into a box. Every movie you see nowadays and every book you see nowadays is betrayal and murder, or like it's about heart and compassion, or it's about betrayal and murder. I'll say it again, and that's the most common thing. It's about infidelity, secrets and lies, and the highest parts of the princedom. It's like, oh my god, it gets so tired. Like, no wonder young men don't want to read. Because when I go, I'm going to give you two examples. I walked into an independent bookstore the other day. I wasn't even, by the way, I just wanted to go in there. Bookstores no longer make me happy. They used to be a sanctum for me. When I was feeling down, I would go to a bookstore and I would just kind of browse the shelves. I'd walk around. I'd start to feel a little better. Oh, something would either catch my eye, or I'd go out of the way to find something that didn't. Whether it be in the, I'd love going to the new fiction section, but of course the classics, the history, the religion section, philosophy. Then I'd go to the thriller. Then I'd take a look at the mystery. I check in with the YA fan. You know, I go to all the shelves, but the new fiction section has always been where I've been most preoccupied in any bookstore, whether it be Barnes and Noble or Indies. Why is this? Well, because I write fiction and I produce it. And my earliest novel I ever put out was in 2021, right? That was my debut. It's called The Conjurer. So that's going to be relevant to me as I, you know, I'm seeing, hey, what's being pushed in a big way nowadays? So I did this twice in the past couple months because I've been going to fewer and fewer bookstores for fun lately. I've bought multiple books online. Actually, in the last week, just so you know, now that I think about it, I have purchased two audiobooks, one hardcover novel, and I downloaded one ebook in the last week. So that's three formats of each a different book. So I'm letting you know, it's not like I'm not consuming and these, you know, novels and literature and history and things. I just don't like going into bookstores as much anymore because I go into the new fiction section. So I did this the other day. It was like an art gallery and bookstore. It was actually kind of a cool place, and they sold jewelry there too, but they had quite a big book section, and it was like community recommendations, but also mixed in with, I literally ask the person there, one of the bookkeepers or whatever, that's an accountant. I asked the person there who worked there. I said, he never found out that I was an author. I never told him who I was. I just kind of walked in there and we had a conversation. I walked out, but the conversation went something like this. Hey, how do you curate your books? You have a lot here. It's beautiful. I love books, I said, which is, he goes, well, we get some in because of recommendation, but most, and I'm looking at thousands of books. So when he says most, he's talking about thousands of books. But most we just get from the big publishers. That's what he said. Most we just get from what's popular. So essentially they're just, they may as well be a Barnes & Noble but smaller. That's essentially what they are. Which is pathetic. That's pathetic. So I go, okay, thank you. I'm going to go off and I'm going to go do my, I'm just going to go browse for a bit. And he says, yeah, take your time, man. Okay. I went and browsed. I was looking around, trying to find a, you know, a cover or a binding or a title that I just didn't recognize. I saw one, caught my eye, and I looked at it. I read the synopsis, and it was about a woman who was getting incredibly tired with her marriage. I don't remember the name of the book, but I do remember the author. Ding 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 was female. And it was about a woman who was like middle-aged, who loved her husband, by the way, and her husband never did anything wrong, but was getting bored of the mundane and was on the verge or likely having an affair with someone else, or like wanting or contemplating, maybe like escaping and going away and seeing where the grass was really greener. And I wanted to throw up in my mouth at just reading the synopsis, but then I go, I'm like, okay, fine. Like, so my read on that is a woman is treated well, wants to see if she could be treated even better or feel better. Is that what I was getting? That's what I got out of it. But the synopsis didn't say that. The synopsis said what I said about, you know, a minute ago. Which was, you know, everything is nice in this marriage, and this guy George or whatever his name was treated her very well and was fine. But man, he was just relatively boring, and she had a mundane existence, although it was comfortable. But she wanted to peer into the unknown, the great unknown. But from a female author, for a female reader, the unknown is just, who else can you get porked by? I'm like dead serious. Unless you're in like the 0.00000001%, like Hatshepsut, the Egyptian pharaoh from like 2000 BC, who is a great conqueror, but very little is known about her because she lived 4,000 years ago. 4,000. Excuse me. So yeah, that's what that's about. That was my read on it. Woman wants to see if she can have a more exciting F. UCK. Wow. Okay. But then I went and I read a random page in it. I read a random page, right? And the random page went along the line. I do this a lot when I go into bookstores, which I do less and less often now. It went something akin to, oh, they were at some, the setting was they were at a restaurant, and this woman kind of like flirted a little bit with her husband. And I think it was narrated in the first person, and the narrator, the wife, is like, honey, didn't you pick up on what she was doing? And the guy's like, no, no. And she's like, I think she's into you. And he's like, well, probably not. And then I read the rest of the page and a little bit after that, and it was about the narrator was just going on about how it would be more exciting if more women were interested in him. Okay, that's actually biological. That makes sense. And he was more aware and he was more into the fact that he was being flirted with, right? Like he had it going on. Like she would be more into that. And there was more intricacy in the prose. I don't think it was a poorly written book from the two pages I read. But that is not, okay, here's the point. That's not a book built for males. That's not a book written for males, and certainly not written by one. Okay. I walked into another independent bookstore in actually the same locale. And go in there. Once again, they didn't know who I was. And I picked up a book. I didn't even read the synopsis this time. I did. It was like an interdimensional, intergalactic, like aliens, but also modern day, going back in time as well. Weird, like, time inversion that has to do with Native peoples, Native Americans, Indians, or something. Ancient Mexica, too. Something akin to that. But it took place in the American Southwest, right? And the synopsis was that it was something kind of unintelligible. And then I flipped to a random page. And do you know what the random page was? I swear I'm not trying to pick these things out. These are just the last two times I've been to a bookstore and read something that was supposedly new fiction that was being kind of pushed by the big publishers. Three collective pages between two books, and this is what the second book said in the page that I read. Once again, wanted to vomit in my mouth. Or maybe out of my mouth. It was two women who, with my context clues, seemed to be driving away from some, like, shootout, some gunfight. And one woman was talking to the other and saying, "Holy shit, I can't believe you did that." And the other woman was like, "Yeah, but it was either them or us." And then the other woman goes something like, "Yeah, men with their guns, right?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then the other woman, like, still replies to her and, like, wants to go on. And she's like, "I can't believe, like, you got them all. You slaughtered them." And then the other woman's like, and they're, like, riding. It seemed like they'd be, I was picturing, like, a Jeep, like, riding along, like, somewhere, like, outside of Albuquerque, this barren, like, steppe, this desert steppe. And in this, like, army green Jeep. And she was like, "Yeah, they're nothing without their guns, but they love them." And they were just trashing on men with guns, people who like guns, and the men they just killed, and just shitting all over them. So I don't, I meandered, I understand. I tried to bring it back to the whole. I'm trying to give you a lucid perspective here as to, okay, it's kind of a vicious cycle. Why would a male pick up a book that's hyped and talked about that is mainly written by a female, likely edited by mostly females, and catered to female audiences, sometimes by default? Why would they do that? Like, they're not going to be into something they're not into. You can't force that. But then at the same time, why would a big publisher, why would a company, large or small, try to fit a square peg into a round hole? It doesn't make any sense. The corners are going to abut. The circular edge of the round hole, and it's not going to make it through. It doesn't work. It's stupid. You're pigeonholing something, and you're going to break. You're going to go broke. The company, that's not going to be a successful endeavor if they try to market feminine books about, like, wives thinking it's hot for their husbands to, like, get hit on or something weird like that. And for males to, like, well, they're not going to want to read it. I don't have anything else here. Like, that's really it. It's a vicious cycle that we find ourselves in. Because reading ultimately is better for you than doom scrolling. Just sitting on your phone for hours at a time. Constantly having your attention divided and divided and divided again. Just so that companies could slice up your attention even further and further and further and make mincemeat out of you. as they try to just take little sections of your conscious and subconscious thought and just corporatize you, consume you from the inside out. That's not what we want, right? And I don't want that for anyone. And I think books are a great way to fight that, especially literature and fiction. My actions have shown that as a best-selling novelist. And we're not, but the one that is being abandoned by popular literature, and I think literature, by and large, the ones who are being abandoned are younger males, from older adolescents to younger adults. That was just the whole point. I don't know if it's any one person's particular fault for this macroeconomic trend, and this macro media trend, social trend, whatever. It's an everything trend. It's a consumption trend. No one in particular, no one person or entity, I think, is to blame for this. It's a more complex issue than I could have ever laid out in the 45 minutes we were here. But what I will say is, it is a problem, and I have pointed out entities that there are to blame, including authors, including the companies, including the younger men themselves, without bringing a diatribe to particularly the young men, because sometimes you're just not into what you're not into, and that's about it. So I appreciate it very much, and you know, this is going to be ported on YouTube, so wherever you're listening to this, just do what you do. Have a great day. And if it's not great, I hope it gets better. Peace.